It's even like what that giving us your information. You know, the truth is we sing those songs and they're great songs, right? And even what we did, what Lisa had us do during that song is so big, because if God's going to move on earth today, he does it through you. Like every time you say a kind word, every time you help the poor, every time you give of yourself, it's God moving on earth. It's like, you know who's going to break the chains in people's lives? You are. We do it, and it's like, you're so important. And you know, most of us, actually, I was talking to somebody about funerals this morning, but that's not a happy thought. But the truth is, it's a real thing, and we need to get in touch with you guys. If you're a part of Grace Fellowship, sometimes we need help. We need someone that can cook a pot of green beans for a funeral dinner. You say, well, that's not a big deal. It is. It's if it's you, if it's your family. And guys, we all matter so much. It's like, I think sometimes we think if we're not giving in a big up front on stage thing, then we're not making a difference. Listen, I'll tell you how big a difference this is. Just you having a smiling face encourages the people who might be doing something else. Just your being here is a big deal. And we have a mission. We want to provide opportunities for people to encounter God and experience unconditional love. There's not enough love in this world. Somebody should have written a song about that during the 70s, right? There actually was a song written about that. But it's just true. And today, I've been talking about the last few weeks about the gospel. And going over the foundations of the gospel. And I'm going to talk about this today. But today I want to talk about something that's just a huge thing. Yeah, last week I did a funny skit. I had toilet paper hanging off the back of my pants. It was funny. You guys noticed that, and it was funny. You're supposed to notice and you're supposed to laugh because it was funny. But this week I want to do something. If you look around your world today, in your own personal life, in our city, in your business, in our state, in the government, in the world, we're facing things the world's never seen before. It's like things are different now. And you know, as a human being, I don't know if you remember this, some of us do. Can you imagine what happened to you when you went from the warm, cushioned security of being inside your mother's womb to this abrupt, unwanted expulsion into this loud, harsh, glaring world that we live in? We go through those kinds of things in our life. There's like, it's like we face something new at every stage of our life. And do you remember what it was like? Some of you, it was traumatic when you went from that loving home environment till they dropped you off at school. And you went into this place, you didn't know anybody, your mom wasn't there. It was just something different. And I tell you, as a human, some of the hardest things we go through is when we face those times in our life when we don't know what to do. We don't know how to function in this environment. We don't know how to succeed here. What's expected of us? What should I look like? What should I do? And I think it's different for everybody. I think everybody, some of you, it was traumatic when you went into junior high. I've read educational studies about that's really a make it or middle school, which whatever you call it, that's a make it or break it time for kids. It's because for some reason we think that children in elementary school should be taken care of and nurtured and loved. But we think when they go into middle school and junior high, they need to face the world the way it is. And the teachers become rough and they become tough. And then half the kids flunk out. There was a study they did in the Chicago School District. The numbers are astounding. And it was just the teachers' attitudes about the children, and a lot of children couldn't take that change. How about the first time you went to a full-time job? I've watched some of you, I've been here long enough, I've seen it happen, where you went from high school or college, that everybody taking care of you environment, into a job where they expected something of you. They expect you to be on time. They expect you to be respectful. They expect you to obey the rule without being told 10 times, no one's going to bring you your lunch if you forgot it. That's a tough transition for people. Well, you know, I think in our world today, we live in a day where it's like we're facing new things all the time. And it might be you personally. You know, there's a lot of things we face. I think about this. I think, what if you've just become a long-term caregiver to someone? You've never done that before. What about if you've lived alone by yourself your whole life and you marry someone and now there's a family? You see, I think we face new things all the time, right? And you and I need a foundation that we have, a lens, a way of looking at the world that'll give us a foundation that we can actually prosper in these uncertain times. Because it doesn't matter how solid your life is right now, it's going to change in the future. And if you look at it through the lens of the gospel that God brings, you'll have a foundation that when those changes happen, they won't knock you down. You'll be able not just to survive, you'll be able to prosper in those situations. And we need that kind of foundation. You know, the world needs a foundation that no matter what comes. I mean, I love those songs because they're true. God's already won the battle. He's not going to let us down. But why is it working for me? You see, I believe that God's wanting to lay a foundation in our lives. If you're willing to hear it, that'll put you in a place, that'll give you such a strong foundation that no storm can rock your boat. No storm can steal your joy or your peace or your security. No storm can. And that's what God wants to talk about. And I want to talk about that today. We've been talking about this gospel. I've come up with a name for it that I had some help coming up with a name. I'll blame it on some other people too. But I believe I want to call this the no shame gospel or the shame free gospel. Yeah. It's like there's no shame when you understand the gospel the way God presented it. And we need that today. You know what's really true? Like, you guys can be honest. if you lie in church, it's just like being a chicken thief, and you'll go to hell for that. Kidding. It's not true. But how many of you were born like 1972 till now? Like, raise your hands. It's about half the people. Yeah, Philip, you take your hand down. Bays, take your hand down. Yeah, you were. And do you know there's something I want you to know about yourself? I believe, personally, that 1972 was a soft cutoff date when everybody born after that point were born with greater capacity, greater ability, greater needs. You can see it in the technology in the world. Like the number of inventions in the world since 1972 till now has gone up exponentially, thousands of times over than happened before 1972. In the communication world, pre-1972, it was the analog age, they called it. It was just everything was slow. I mean, I actually used to type on a teletype machine on these little cards, and they'd give me 25 cents a card to type like 30 words. And they sent it to me, I typed it out, I sent it back to them, and you know, 3 or 4 days later, you would get the message if that's where it was going to. I worked for Western Union, my dad did, and I did some work for him. It was like so slow. And now we live in this age where they communicate it. It's a digital age. We communicated hundreds of thousands and billions of bytes per second. And it's like, what is this? Guys, I want to tell you, if you were born, and it's soft because some people are a mixture, but the people born from 72 on actually have a greater need to experience God than at any time in human history. You do. You have a greater need to experience love than at any time in human history. You need more input than any generation that's ever been born in history. And I believe God's done it on purpose. Now, the older people that were born before 1972, before 1962, before 1952, I could keep going because they're here, 45, yeah. You guys, it's not you were bad, You just didn't have the amazing thirst and desire for knowledge and communication and love and experience. That wasn't in us. And so us and the generation before us, we were okay with a sideways hug from the God, from the world. And we said that people born after 72, we've told you that you're bad, that you need too much, that you want too much, you expect too much, you talk too much, you watch too much, you have to be engaged with 12 things at the time. Can't you focus? Can't you settle down? Can't you listen to me? Which I'm saying, why don't you become like me? What, slow? Like short bus slow? You know, it's like, no, God made you this way on purpose. I was okay. You know, when I was in school, and I've watched, I watched somebody just now. So what makes the difference about this gospel? I'm getting to something. You know, we all need love, right? And we all need to hear this. He loves me. He loves me. And I just want to burn that in your head. The very foundation of God's relationship with humanity is based on love. Not judgment, not expectations, not law. It's based on love. And I want to show you that today. And I've watched some of you guys. Like some of you are so needy. You just have to have, God just has to go all the time to you. Like, you want to feel His presence. You want to hear His voice. You want to experience His arms around you. Some of you guys are just, like, sappy. It's like, have you ever watched Jennifer Hughes up here when she leads worship, you know? She's, like, in love with a man. I mean, I know she loves art, right? There you go, Art. She loves art, but she's not good with just worshiping the way she was worshiped when she was a kid. It's different now. And so I got something. I wanted Jennifer to do something for me, okay? You guys, Jennifer, would you mind? Come on up here. Yeah, you can, like, come on, Jennifer. Here's what I want you to do. Now, you know, it is so important. When I was a kid, I don't know if you kids still do it. Most of the kids are history makers. You teenagers still do this. When I was a kid, you never quite, oh wait, Vicky, your grandsons will know this. When I was a kid, right, you never quite knew if she loved you, right, Trey? It's like, you know that girl at school? You didn't know if she loved you, and so they had this thing you could do. You could take a flower, and you would pick a petal, and you would say, she loves me, he loves me not. And whichever one you ended up on, that was the truth. Some of you did it. Marceline did it in Des Arc, Arkansas. I know she did it because she got married when she was 15. But so I've asked Jennifer, so she really needs to know. She doesn't want to hear about it. No, she doesn't mind hearing about it, right?
Right.
She needs to know, experience God loves her. That's why we went and prayed for each other for a few minutes during worship. That's why we worship the way we do. So we can experience Him, not just hear about it. We need to experience. So Jennifer, I got her a He Loves Me or He Loves Me Not flower. And she's going to pick the petals off and tell you what's on each petal. And the last petal she picks, wherever it is, that's going to be, does God love her or not? So Jennifer, you go, girl.
He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me.
No, this is like that song we sang. It's like over and over and over.
He loves me.
Come on, Jennifer, keep going. You're about to get it.
He loves me.
He loves you. That's true.
He loves me. He knows me and he loves me.
Oh, ooh, that's deep. That's deep.
He knows me and he loves me.
Yes.
I'm going to tear this up.
Be careful.
He loves me.
Yes.
He loves me.
Yes.
He loves me.
Yeah. Good job. You can keep Jennifer. Congratulations. Give it to Art. Isn't that the truth? Do you guys get it? He loves you. And it's not enough for you to hear it. He wants to write a personal letter to each one of us. You need to experience it. It's true. It is a self-evident truth, just like freedom. It's self-evident. Freedom is who we are. God loves you. But you know, I think in our lives, we have these weird things, right? You see, we think the story began in Genesis. And I went through it 2 weeks ago, and I'm talking about that now because it's so important. What happened to Adam and Eve? We were taught that God became mad at Adam and Eve and angry with them and had to punish them for eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when, go back and listen to the tapes, go back and listen to the podcast or watch the video on YouTube, whatever, and you'll see that I don't believe that's true. I think there was the very foundation started before Genesis. Do you realize that? Genesis wasn't where it started. Listen what it says in Ephesians. There was a mystery, right? In Ephesians 3, he said, "To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God." What's the mystery Paul's talking about? He goes on and he explains it. He tells us, he said, he created all things through Christ Jesus to the intent that now the wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Who deals with the principalities and powers? You do. God has given you authority over them. He's given you rulership and reign over him by the power of Jesus' resurrection. And then listen to what he says. And will fill your heart to overflowing with love for a good God. The thing I want you to leave today, I already talked about that. It's just absolutely true. God is not mad at you. The very foundation of the gospel. He's not mad at you. And then last week we talked about another aspect, which is there's always a reason. There's always a reason. There's a reason if I'm acting up. There's a reason if I'm angry. There's a reason if I'm depressed. I am not a depressed person. I'm not an angry person. I'm not a selfish person. I'm not an addicted person. If those things are in my life, there's always a reason. And it's not because I'm bad. And we were taught we were bad. It's not true. The third thing that I want to talk about today is this. God loves you. Is the very foundation before the creation of the world. If you see it, God wants to fill your heart with love, right? And then in 1 Corinthians 2:9, I believe you're going to have this. You and I have had this so hammered into our brains, we won't be able to make this change of the way of thinking. I have a picture of the gospel there. God is an angry God. It's the whack-a-mole God. He's the and man was the bad man. And we had that picture. It was so beaten inside of me that I couldn't even read the scripture and see if what it was really saying, that God is love. That God cares more for you and me than anything in the world. And it's just like it's so hard to get through. But then what does 1 Corinthians say? In the last verse 11 there, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You cannot get the gospel, the shame-free gospel, except the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Amen. You can try to understand. I can try to, but the credit all goes to Him. It's the power of the Holy Spirit needs to give you the revelation that God loves you. And you know what? He loves you so much, you'll never run out of rose petals, and every single petal is going to say, "He loves me. He loves me." He loves me. Do you know what will change your life? Having those encounters with Him. He loves me. He loves me. And all of a sudden, He becomes bigger than your problems. He becomes bigger than history. He becomes bigger than the United States government. He becomes bigger than taxes. That was a joke. You guys always say, don't pay much taxes. But listen, I'm telling you, He's bigger than that. He's bigger than death. And God really is. And so you go on, and it's like in Ephesians, listen to what Paul said in Ephesians. Listen, verse 4 of Ephesians 1. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world. Before the world was created, God chose us. And then He says this, to be holy and blameless in His sight in love. Not in judgment, not in anger, not in wrath. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons. Full heirs of everything He is. He loves me. He loves me. I think you could say that 1,000 times. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. When you're depressed, He loves me. When you're hurting, He loves me. When you care about somebody, when you're giving of your time, your effort, your energy, your money, whatever, He loves me. When you're challenged and you're facing a mountain that you can't get around, He loves me. It's true. And you know, it's interesting, that is the foundation of the gospel, of the shame-free gospel. It wasn't the foundation of what I was taught. I was taught the foundation is I'm bad, and that He's angry, and Jesus gets beat up for me. I don't think that's what happened. I think He's loved me. He never stopped loving me. He never will stop loving me. Because it's all about love. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Right? Y'all know the verse? That whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save us. To set us free from bondage. All those things that we were singing about in worship. That's why Jesus came. He loves you. He loves you. And if you can't see love in Him and in your world, then you're not seeing it right yet. There's nothing in this world beyond His love. Now, you know what? It's funny. Most of us were brought up with a bipolar view of God. God is up there. Jesus came here. God is the judge, jury, and executioner. And Jesus is nice. And we have this picture of a bipolar God. Our triune God is bipolar. I don't know how that works, but that's the picture in our mind. But that isn't what Scripture says. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says in Hebrews 1, it says the Son, Hebrews 1:3, says the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. And if you have a picture of God that you can't find in Jesus, you're not seeing Him right. I know it's hard. Matter of fact, I know it'll take a supernatural miracle, resurrection miracle from the Holy Spirit for us to understand Scripture. Because that's what Scripture tells us. So I believe it's really true. There's not two gods. There's one in three persons. And Jesus and God are, Jesus is the perfect picture of God. There's nothing in God that you can't see in Jesus. Exact representation. God is love. And you know, and you guys, we could go forever on that. John, 1 John 4:16, right? So we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. God is love. He wasn't in my world. I've been pastoring almost 40 years. Almost 40 years, believe it or not. And loved God with all my heart. But I wasn't experiencing His love. Personally. I studied. I went to college. I went to graduate school. gave up everything, spent years trying to learn everything I could about God, studying history, studying revival, studying, endlessly studying. And then, like you guys, I ran into something I couldn't get over. You know, y'all have done that. I ran into something that I couldn't will my way through. And I remember, I had no idea. I really didn't. But I trusted God. But I wasn't getting past this thing. It was a silly thing. No, not a big deal to you guys. And actually, those of you who know me think I'm sort of prickly anyway and hard to get close to. But the truth is, we had started this church, and I worked at least 20 years not as working full-time and pastoring, right? I did that for at least 20 years. So I'm working full-time, and I'm pastoring this church full-time. I'm doing both. And I was very disciplined. I used to jog every morning, like get up early and jog. And the boys were young. I don't remember the exact ages, honestly, but they were young, like 8 and 10 or 11 years old, like in that age, maybe 9, 10, 11. And I would get up, my little routine I had, because the life I lived, I had to have a routine. I'd get up every morning at that time and go jogging. I always ran, and so I'd jog. And every morning when I jogged, I would address this issue in my heart, praying, talking to the Lord. I found when they got past toddler age, like before, when they were toddlers, like 4 years and younger, everything's great. But when they got past toddler age, I found that I couldn't express affection to them, like physically or verbally. And it makes me want to hit something, you know? Like right now, if I wish one of you were close, I'd just hit you right in the face. Go ahead, Harvey. I'm not hitting Harvey. Harvey, he could heal himself, so I wouldn't have to worry about it. Well, okay, that's a problem for me. A serious problem. Every day I would jog and say, God, now this is how bad it was for me. And maybe y'all think I'm an idiot. I don't care. It just was true. I'd say, God, help me to touch my boys today. Can you believe that? You can't imagine how much that hurts me just to say it. And for me, a touch was, I touched them. Elbow on the shoulder, bump into each other walking down the hallway. Touch. I couldn't hug them. I couldn't hold their hand. What's wrong with me, right? I'm writing a book called What's Wrong With Me. You guys, you all could all help me write it because there's something wrong with all of us. But I was like, God, I don't get it. Why can't I do this? But it didn't matter. And also, I had another problem. I couldn't show them physical affection. I couldn't say, I love you. Like, I can look at any of you. I love you, 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 I love you. I couldn't say it to my sons. Dang it. That wasn't the word I used. But, so I prayed every day, God, because I knew, I studied tons of psychology. I've been pastoring forever. At that time, I'd been pastoring 20 years almost. I'm like, God, I know what this does to young men. A detached, unaffectionate, absent father destroys young men. Makes it really hard on them. Okay, it doesn't destroy them 100%. It just makes it real hard on them. And I knew I was doing that to those two boys who meant the world to me. Well, if you loved them, you could do it. Come up here and let me slap you. Why isn't that true for you? If you love somebody, then don't get angry anymore. If you love somebody, then quit drinking. If you love somebody, don't leave. It's got nothing to do with that. There's always a reason, right? So, every day, I'm praying, God, 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 help me to do two things today. It was my only prayer. I didn't pray about my business. I didn't pray about the church. God, help me to touch the boys and help me to say I love you. So I got some cheat codes, just like cheat codes in a video game. I learned that brushing, I just touched that. And at the end of the day, I'd remember. I did it. I found out when I put them to bed at night, when I walked out of the room, they slept in the same room. When I walked out of the room and I got past the threshold of the door, and, you know, they're just 8 feet from me. You know, it's a small room. I'd say, I love you. And I'm like, I did it. Now, I couldn't look at them and say it. So every day, I met my goal every day for, I hate to admit it, it was more than 2 or 3 years. I was doing this every day. Man, I want free so bad. And I'm pastoring Grace Fellowship, which was Vineyard Christian Fellowship at that time. It gets going on with life and failing at the thing that was most important to me. The thing that really mattered to me, I'm failing at. But, and then this crazy thing happened. It's a long story, and I don't have time to tell it. But every day, so I would take them to school, drop them off at school, then I'd go to work. I'd have about an hour and a half at work before I opened my business to spend in studying and praying. And I'm at work one time, and I'm praying, and I felt like the Lord said for me to read Romans 1:16. One of my favorite Bible verses, has been for 40 years. Romans 1:16, Paul said this, the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation for the whole world. And not just not go to hell, salvation for the world. Our governments, our education, our physical stuff, our politics, everything. I believe that with all my heart. I look at that verse and I'm reading it and I'm meditating on it. And the Holy Spirit said, you're ashamed of the gospel. I almost died. I couldn't believe the Lord said that to me. I started arguing with him, right? Like arguing like, God, I just told somebody about Jesus yesterday in my business. I do it every week. There's not a week goes by I don't talk to somebody about Jesus. God, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And this went on for like 3 or 4 days. And finally, I think the third or fourth day, it's still, I'm crying the whole time. It's so painful. And the whole time, and the Lord's saying, you're ashamed of the gospel. So finally, I said, God, I don't get it. I do not understand, but I know you're right. I am ashamed of the gospel. And as soon as I did that, something changed. And I'm not going to finish the story. This went on for 2 weeks, basically. I have this encounter with God every morning before work. And it's ripping my heart apart. And then finally, at the end of 2 weeks, God had been trying to give me a gift, right? Like 4 days out of the 2 week deal, I think 4 days in a row, God the Father would come up to me in this open vision, like I could see him, and he would bring this box. It was like a shoebox wrapped up like a birthday gift or something, and he wasn't talking, and I wasn't talking either, but we were communicating, you know, and it's like he walks up to me, and he holds it out, and I'm like, because I didn't deserve a gift. The God I was understood, the God I knew, you didn't. You had to earn it. And I told him, I think it was 4 days in a row, no. And I think it was on the fifth day. I know it's going to happen again the next day. Flat out know it. And I'd already made up my mind, I'm not taking it. You can shoot me, I'm not taking it. I didn't say that. You know, he can read my mind, I know that. But I'm thinking it. I said, I'm not taking it. That fifth day, exact same thing happened again. God and I meet, like, in a room like this big, I guess. And he walks up and he's holding the box out. And I said, mm-mm. And I knew when I said it, that would be the last day. I still said no. I told him, I said, I'll serve you my whole life. with nothing. I don't want anything. And God and I both, every time we both turned around and left. And this day, I turned around and God turned around. And then as I'm walking away, I could feel something, you know. So I stopped and I turned around and looked. And God was sitting like in the middle of the aisle there, halfway back. He's sitting in a big chair. Like sitting like a real person, you know. Obviously, it was a big chair because it was God. It wasn't like this. He's sitting like this. And I'm looking at him, and I don't see the present. I'm looking at him, and God goes, "If you can die 1,000 deaths, I did." My mind exploded. You know what that means? He wanted me to come sit in his lap. You don't sit in God's lap. Not me. Not my understanding. God is God and I'm not. But God did that. And I can't tell you how it ended. It's way too personal. No, I'm lying. It's like, I can tell you how it ended. I didn't go sit in his lap. Just ended. But I'll tell you this, every time, for that three-week period, every time I pulled a petal off that flower, what I read and didn't realize it was happening was, "He loves me." You see, every encounter you ever have with God will be love. And I was doing the same thing that Jennifer was doing every time I was encountering Him. His love was changing me. It's a miracle. You know what changes you? Not your mind. Your mind gets transformed by God. What transforms your mind is encounters with Him. You know how important it is? Now I know life. Encountering Jesus is life. And I can't live without Him. You know what happened? It's funny. It's a long story, but you know what happened? About 3 days later, I'm still doing the same routine, right? So I'm jogging every morning. About 3 days later, I finish I'm like right at the end of my jog, and I'm like, I haven't prayed the prayer for 3 days. Like, first time in years. It shocked me. I was like, I didn't pray it yesterday. I didn't pray it the day before yesterday, and I didn't pray it today. I'm like, and I was so numb from being disconnected from God that I didn't even know something had changed. So I went in that morning and made the boys oatmeal, like I always did, and they sit down obediently because I was so mean, they better obey. And they're sitting at the table, and we're eating our oatmeal, and I look up at Matthew, my youngest son, who's sitting across from me. And I looked at him, you know, just interrupted his oatmeal eating. We ate without talking. Do y'all do that too? Yeah, I didn't think so. I eat without talking. And so I talked, which got his attention. I said, "Matthew." He goes, "Yeah, Dad." I said, "I love you." He goes, "Love you too, Dad." Now, he has no idea what's going on in me. In my mind, I did it, what I couldn't do for years, and it wasn't hard, it didn't hurt. And then I got Daniel's attention. I said, "Daniel." He's like, "Yeah, Dad." I said, "I love you." He goes, "Love you too, Dad." I wanted to shout and dance and do that, you know, like you do in worship. It's like, I want to do all that, but I didn't. I was cool. I'm like, I'm going to try to hug him. I'm going to try. Because we had to walk through out of the kitchen, into the little entryway, out the front door to go get in my truck so I could take them to school. So we walk into the foyer, I guess that is, and I gave Matthew a sideways hug. Y'all don't believe me, do you? I did. I mean, a real sideways hug. Like, I put my arm around him and squeezed him a little bit. That's how you do that. Some of you guys don't know how to hug, do you? You squeeze them. And then I gave Daniel a sideways hug. And I'm serious. It was such a big deal to me. The rest of the day's a blur. I know I took him to school. I don't remember it. But I went to my office and said, God, what happened to me? Was it here? Somehow, encountering you, I encountered love. And it changed me. Guys, there's the foundation of the gospel is love. Experiencing His love. And this morning, some of you got to experience His love. You shared the love you have with Him with other people. And they got to experience His love through the love you share. You see, that's what it's all about. That's the foundation of everything. It's your sharing His love. God loves you. You can't make Him stop. You can't make Him stop. And whatever your problems are, and whatever you face in the future, whatever our government does, is pales in insignificance to His love. So today, you know what you need to experience His love? You know what you need to do? Give away what you've experienced. And some of you, I'm serious, you do it by giving dollars. Well, that's not love, that's just money. It's love. Some of you listen to people, you give them your ear. Some of you actually hug people, full frontal hugs. I know, I've seen you do it. Tracy Dolan, he'll hug you till you don't even exist anymore. You're so much inside of him. You know, it's like God gives us a body and we all love. We all have an experience with God and then we give away what He's given us. Some of you do it on stage. I don't care where you do it, at work. You know why you have a job? It's not to make money. It's more important than that. You love people by providing them an income so their family can eat and they can pay the bills and they have a roof over their head. Why don't you realize what's happening? You need to realize what you're doing is bigger than just the physical realm. It's actually releasing God's love in the world today. If He's going to love somebody, it has to come through you. So today, you need something? You need to, whatever you have to do, you need to start having encounters with Him. Because when you have an encounter with Him, His love will change your life and the world. It's what the world needs today. Love, love, love. Amen? Let's all stand up. I almost drank the water, flower water juice. I thought it was a glass. I have a bottle of water, but I left it down there, and I was like, glad I didn't drink that. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, huh? If you're facing a mountain, encounters with Jesus is what will win the victory. Now, you can win the victory for other people. Your encounters with Jesus, you can give away. And that's what we're called to do. So let's pray. Let's see how the Lord wants you to respond to this. So Jesus, the scripture says we can't get it. We can't understand the gospel. We can't understand unless you give us revelation. So God, I just ask right now. So God, would you show each one of us, just open your heart. Let the Lord show you. The Lord will show you. If you want to know, He'll show you. So I want you to ask Him this question. And in your own heart, you ask the Lord this question. Jesus, would you show me how I love people? See, I think we all love people way more than we think we do. Now I want to ask the Lord to show you something else. Jesus, would you reveal to me how I connect with you? How I experience your love? Now, I want you to make a decision. However you experience God's love, I want you to just make a commitment in your heart that you're going to double it. Double it. It may be, I don't know how you do it, but however it is, do it more. You see, we need you. Your neighbors need you. Your family needs you. This city needs you. They need what happens in you when you experience Him. So double it. If you drink, drink more. If you eat His flesh, eat more. I don't mean drinking. I mean communion, the holy sacrament, right? Just more. If you worship, worship more. If you study your scripture, pray, whatever it is you do, just do more. And it's all about your experience with Him. That's what changes your world. That's what changes our world. So God, I just ask that you would transform our minds. And God, help us to see the truth that you are love. And God, that our privilege while we're here on earth is to love others, to let you love people through us. So God, I just thank you. Thank you for everyone here in every way, every unique way that they love. So now, if you need to experience His presence this morning, and maybe you just haven't been experiencing Him, maybe you just want more. The front will be open, and there'll be somebody here to pray with you. And you don't have to leave here today without having experience with Him. It's really important. It's everything, right? So thank you for coming today. Thank you for being so patient and listening to me. And be blessed this week. Go and experience God. Amen. God bless you. We're done.